We're going to transition in the service here. And once again, I want to welcome everyone that's here and everyone that's joined us online. And this morning, we're going to hear a testimony from Angela Moisenko regarding her healing journey after the loss of her loved ones. And I've been privileged to walk with Angela on her journey. And before she comes, I wanted to share a few things regarding grief. Who has experienced grief sitting in this room? I don't think any of us escape grief in this lifetime. But grief is a heart response to hurt. It's painful. It's a painful emotion caused by the loss or even the impending loss of someone or something that has been very, very dear to us. And so grief can dig a rut in your soul and in your mind of anguish and depression, and often a desire just to isolate from everyone and everything. And it produces very strong emotions that are very difficult to pull yourself out of. But God understands. The scripture says in Isaiah 53 that he's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. So we can also be assured that our pain is always purposeful. And when grief accomplishes its work, there's like this deep well that is carved out on the inside of us that God in his time will fill up with his joy and his peace and his contentment. In Lamentations 3:32-33, the scripture says, though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. And at this time, I'm going to ask Angela. She'll come forward, and we're going to pray over her this morning. And she's going to share her testimony, her journey, parts of it. It's long. It's been a long journey. And she has written out what she felt the Lord wanted her to share today with all of you. So let's stretch our hands towards Angela and pray for her as she gets started this morning. Father, thank you for Angela. Thank you for her love for her. Thank you for the work that you've done in her life, Lord, that you carved out that well, Lord, and she surrendered to you, Lord, as she went through this journey, Lord, and you filled her heart with a compassion and with a peace and with an understanding. And today as she shares her testimony, Lord, open our hearts to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying through her. In Jesus' name, release your peace now. In Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. Amen, amen.
Good morning. Whew. I first of all would like to thank the Lord Jesus Christ, because without him I wouldn't be able to be standing here before you today. He's the only one that can really help you. I'd also like to acknowledge and thank Apostles Leonard and Dr. Janet Cook, especially Dr. Janet. I spent lots of hours in her office sitting on the anointed counseling green couch. And I'd also like to acknowledge Vicki Castleman, because she's the one that encouraged me to come to the River of Life. So thank you, Vicki. I've known Vicki since 1987, so we've known each other a long time. And my friend Meg, we've been friends for 44 years. We've known each other since we were 17, and she knew my family, and I know her family, and so I'm honored that you're here, Meg. For those of you who don't already know me, I'm Angela, and I've been coming to the River of Life for over 20 years now. And when I started attending the River of Life, I was a person whose spirit was crushed with overwhelming grief for the loss of my mom and my sister. And I didn't realize that I really needed to start dealing with it until I came here. I mean, Vicky kept pushing me. Oh, you gotta come. But once I started attending the church, about 3 days after I started attending here, I had a dream. And God speaks to me a lot in dreams and through his word. But when I came, I had a dream that I was on a bus. It wasn't a school bus. It wasn't a city bus. It was a military bus. And in the bus, I was sitting way in the back, and there was a male driver. And then up in the front passenger seat was Pastor Janet. And then my mom and then my sister, and they were all kind of facing me except for Jesus, who was driving the bus. And it was the first time I actually heard my sister speak to me since the day before she died. And they were all smiling at me, and they said, "Oh, we've been waiting for you." And then I woke up. And when I woke up, I thought, why is this Pastor Janet in my dream? I don't even know this lady. But I came to realize that the male driver was the Lord, and he was going to flow through her to help me on my journey. That's kind of how he talks to me. A little bit background about my family, about my mom and my dad and my sister. My parents actually came from Germany. I'm first generation American. Most people probably don't know that, but I am. I can speak German. When my mom was mad, she would switch to German, so you knew she meant business when she switched to German. But my dad came to the United States in 1956. His father gave him what was the equivalent of $100 in his pocket and sent him to America. They were raised Methodist, and they had a sister church up in Albion, Michigan, and so that's kind of how he came over here. And my dad ended up actually joining the U.S. Army. He served in the Army for 2 years and then 2 years reserve, and married my mom and brought her here and everything. And there they are. That's my mom. Her name is Jutta. And that's George, but in German it's Georg. And those are my parents. Yeah. And you'll see later, my mom was a fantastic cook. And I'm not just saying that. You can ask anybody. Meg can testify. It was always famous, the Christmas Eve open house at our house. My mom had a spread. It usually started around 11, and people would come and go all day long. And everything was made from scratch. And Vicky sampled my mom's baking, because there sometimes I would go home for the weekend to visit. And then I'd be getting ready to leave, and there would be this, not just a cake, it was like a torta. It was a fancy cake, was sitting on the counter. I'm like, what's this? She goes, oh, you can take this to work. She baked a special cake for me to take to work, so Vicky sampled some of the goodies that my mom made. But my mom was fantastic. My dad had his own business. He actually had a foreign car service up in Lansing, Michigan for 35 years, so... And then my sister Heike, that's my mom. She was a knitter. She always amazed me because we would be sitting in the, Yeah, that's my sister Heike. Her name's Heike Sylvia. She was born on New Year's Eve, and New Year's Eve in German is Silvestertag, and so that's why they gave her, I think, the middle name Sylvia, but that's my sister. We were only 18 months apart. We were very close. But my mom, It was December 8th in 1995. My dad's cousin came to visit from Germany, and I had invited them to come down to Indiana because I lived in Mishawaka at the time. And I kept pushing them and pushing them to come. Why don't you come visit? Come down. So then they decided to come, and they decided to go up to Grand Rapids to pick up my sister first, and then they were going to eat dinner and then come down. And they had surprised my sister with a little Christmas tree, so she decided to stay behind and decorate her tree and everything. And they ended up traveling down 131. Well, the weather started getting really bad, and it actually kind of turned almost like into an ice storm. And they were traveling down 131, and my dad was only going 30, 35 miles an hour on the highway. And my mom started to get too warm in the car, so she unsnapped her seatbelt and took her coat off and set it down, and then all of a sudden my dad hit a patch of ice, and it threw them into a spin, and they spun across the median, and it threw my mom to the floor. And you know, she was screaming and everything, and then it kind of stopped, and then they actually were laughing about it, because Munford was kind of a joker, Magnus Munford. And then a car hit them and set them into a second spin, and my mom was ejected from the vehicle. And she died about an hour and a half later. I wanted to get in the car and go, and I couldn't because it was so bad outside. I felt like a caged animal in my apartment. I was crawling the walls. But 10 minutes before my dad called me to tell me that she was gone, I actually saw my mom's face, and I knew she was gone before my dad called. I remember at my mom's funeral, my parents' friends, they all kept telling me, "Oh, Angela, you have to be strong. You need to be strong." Well, I didn't want to be strong. But I really wanted to have a meltdown, but I didn't allow myself to. I shoved all those feelings in. You know, I was raised the German way. The German way was just get over it. Just be tough. I didn't want to be, but... And then I started feeling guilty. I felt really guilty, and I started blaming myself because I pushed for them to come visit that weekend. And then you start having all those thoughts, thinking, oh, if I hadn't invited them, she wouldn't have died. I found out later in counseling that's called false guilt. I remember one day sitting in Dr. Janet's office, and she's like, "If I had invited them, your mom would have gone another way," which made me even more mad at her. I told her the next time I saw her, I said, "I was so mad at you." And she goes, "Oh, I know." Then my anger shifted towards God. But then I was also raised that if you show anger towards somebody in authority, it's a sign of disrespect. But then as I read God's word, I found out even God gets angry, and it's okay to be angry. But at that time, I didn't release it yet to him. And then my sister started not feeling well. See, so my mom died in 1995. December. And then in 1998, like in the late spring, beginning of summer, my sister started not feeling well. And it started just with puffy ankles. And we thought, you know, women, sometimes you retain water. We didn't think anything of it. But then her face started getting puffy. And we're like, something's not right here. And she started having one crisis after another. It took like almost 6 months to figure out what was really wrong with her because we kept having to put out fires. She had two perforated ulcers and almost bled to death. Had to do emergency surgery. I guess the story is at Sparrow Hospital, you know, you have hemoglobin levels, and the lowest that they ever had anybody come into the emergency room was 4, and hers was 3. They were jumping. But she survived. It wasn't her time to go yet. Well, then, I was really bad with my sister. She, we found out through all the testing, she went to an endocrinologist, found out that she had cancer called gastrinoma, which triggered Cushing's disease, which triggered osteoporosis. Every one of her vertebrae collapsed. She shrunk 3 inches. But she was still able to walk. They were amazed that she was able to walk with a walker. And I remember having all these talks with my sister, and I say, well, how can you be at such peace with all of this? And she knew where she was going. She knew. I even prayed and pleaded with God and asked him, I said, let me take her place so she could live. But God didn't. You know, I just couldn't deal with any of that. And then my sister, during all that time, I couldn't deal with it. And so some people drink, some people do drugs. I turned into a workaholic because I didn't want to, I thought if I was busy all the time, I wouldn't be thinking about what was going on. Aaron, can you pop up the other picture of my sister? There she is. That's her best friend Melanie's dog. I was trying to find pictures. But she, I don't know, just the way she walked through it. She even kept encouraging me to try to find a church because she knew I wasn't going to church. And my sister passed away 10 hours before her 37th birthday. I was with her when she passed away. I realized that going through my healing journey, once I started attending River of Life and going through my healing journey, meeting with Dr. Janet, you know, God started unraveling a bunch of other things. But that'll be maybe a story down the road. But today I'm sharing about this. But, you know, God really began to speak to me in my dreams and through His Word. And He talks to each of us in the way that He knows we need to be spoken to. And so it's just a matter of being sensitive to how God talks to you. I remember at the beginning of my healing journey, because I was in a place where I didn't really trust Him with my feelings and emotions. And so I had a dream about standing on a large rock. And it was in the, you know, on the edge of the ocean. And in my dream, God kept telling me to jump. And I kept looking at the rock. I'm thinking, I'm going to die. And he kept saying, jump. But I'm going to die. Jump. So I'm having this argument with God in my dream. He was basically asking me to take a leap of faith. And so I did. In my dream, I jumped in and I felt like I was drowning. And then this hand reached out and pulled me up onto the shore. And then I woke up. It's basically, you know, he was trusting God in your journey through your healing journey. Because like Dr. Janet shared, it's not easy. It is very painful. And then I also feel that sometimes God uses a little humor too. But then I had a series of four different dreams. It was kind of, he was showing me my progression, my process, or how far I had come with him. So I had a dream about driving a vehicle. And Jesus was in the trunk of the car, in the back. And I kept hearing him knocking, saying, will you let me out? Initially, I didn't, because I wanted to be in control of the car. Well, then somewhere down the road, I don't know how long it was, I had a second dream, and I was in the car again. I'm still driving, but he was in the back seat. Yeah, so at least I let him out of the trunk. So some time had passed, and then I had another dream. I'm still driving, but he's up in the front passenger seat with me. And then some more time had passed, and then I had a fourth dream. And then he was driving, and I was up in the front passenger seat. Yeah. So it was a dream about learning to trust him with your life's journey. You know, and I really went through a phase where I was so angry with God. I didn't want to let it out, but he knew it was there. I was so angry with him, I dared him to let me die. Now, I remember I lived in Mishawaka, and I worked in Elkhart, and I would always drive back and forth on Day Road, back and forth. And I was at a period where I was so mad. It was starting to bubble, and I was daring God to let me die. I was driving like a crazy woman. And one day, I zipped around this car on Day Road, and it almost freaked me out because I almost physically felt a hand go on my shoulder, where I actually turned to look to see who was in the back seat of my car. I actually thought somebody was in the car with me. And as I turned, I saw a car come at me, and it gave me just enough time to swerve out of the way. And had I not done that, I would have been probably broadsided. I do feel that that was a intervention. I remember when I finally did release my anger towards God, it actually scared me. It was so deep. It's such a strong emotion. It scared me. I gotta put my glasses on for this. So then one day, I was reading in the Bible, and I came across Psalm 84, 5 through 8. There it is. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. And I'm like, okay, God, what are you saying here? So I looked it up in the Strong's Concordance in the word passing, I think there's a slide for that, means to pass over or by or through, to pass beyond, to be passed, be over. So the word baka, let's go to that one, means weeping, lamentation, the valley of weeping. In other words, you are passing through the valley of misery or passing through the valley of tears. I don't stay there. I pass through it and come out on the other side. So God showed me in the scripture that I was stuck in the valley. And I was sitting there feeling sorry for myself. I was stuck. But that I was to pass through it. I realized that there are valleys, or that valleys are a part of life, and every person has their share of problems, troubles, sorrows, and valleys. But Satan desires to steal your hope and joy so that you too will turn bitter, that you too will lose hope and stop your journey in fulfilling your God-assigned purpose. God wants to crush you, or not God, Satan wants to crush you. Then I had a dream about a mountain, and God showed me that I kept going around the mountain. I kept going around the mountain. What I was doing was I was avoiding. I kept avoiding. Wasn't quite there yet. Kept going around the mountain, and as I was going around the mountain, I was digging a trench, and it was getting deeper. And what he was asking me to do was to go up and over it with him. I learned that God is the only one who carries us through our trials. In Isaiah 43, 2 through 3, it says, "When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Amen. I got all these. And Aaron, can you put up a picture of my dad? There he is. He loved to eat. And my mom loved to cook. So what a great pair, huh? He was a good eater. But some of you knew my dad because he started, towards the end of his life, he started coming to the River of Life with me. But my dad had a form of dementia called Lewy body dementia. And it was a journey with him to go through that. I know a lot of times when people have dementia, you know, the loved one, they may not remember you anymore. And one of my prayers was, "Oh God, let my dad remember me." And he did answer my prayer. My dad knew me until the end. Because I didn't know if I could take it if he didn't know who I was anymore. So that to me was a blessing from God. But my dad passed away on April 1st, 2011. I had spent the whole day with him. I remember a friend of ours had come down from Grand Rapids, and we spent the whole day with him, and we're like, "Oh, George, Uncle George, you remember when blah, blah, blah," and we were telling all these stories, and we were laughing, and I really do feel that he was hearing us, because there were times where he was smiling. He just didn't really talk to us anymore, and I really felt with him he was waiting for me to leave so he could go home. Because after I left, about an hour and a half later, he wasn't here anymore. One of the scriptures is, I remember when I was going through my healing journey, you know, initially started with my mom and my sister's deaths. I heard the Lord tell me one day, "This is your family now." meaning you guys. And I'm like, well, I still have my dad. But he was already preparing me. In Psalm 68:6, God promises, he says, God sets the lonely in families, or the solitary in families. So he placed me here. I want you to know that no matter what you're going through, you're not alone. We're here with you. I was better able to handle my dad's death because of Jesus and all of you. During my grief journey, I came to realize that I am not alone. And just because my loved ones have gone home, my love for them did not die. I couldn't go over, around, or under my grief of pain. I had to work my way through it. The Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, is like a great mighty river. You do not tell the river where to flow. Don't. Instead, you jump in and go where he takes you. Follow the one who knows the way. Trust him. When your heart is being crushed, we know intuitively that we need to turn to the one who made our heart. Jesus is the only one who can heal and restore your heart. He's the only one that can fill the void that you feel. Your spouse can't, your siblings can't, your friends can't. Really, the only one that can fill the void you feel is God. I learned that God does not ask us to fully understand him. We can't. What he does ask us to do is to fully trust him and to move beyond what we understand. During my healing journey, God kept asking me, initially was two questions over and over again. And I started getting kind of annoyed with him because I thought he was basically asking the same question until he illuminated two words to me. And then I realized, oh, he's saying something here. And the first question was, do you trust me? So then I did a word study on the word do. And the word do is to succeed, to accomplish a purpose, to perform, to practice, or to observe. He was basically telling me to practice, you know, walking in, trusting him. Then he asked me, will you trust me? And that word will is choice, determination, to determine, to decide in the mind that something shall be done. It's a choice. We have a choice. And then the big question he asked me was, am I enough for you? Have you really ever thought about if you were to lose everything that you know, would God be enough for you? That's kind of the place where I had to come to. You know, it's a choice to trust God. Will you trust him? Will you trust him to heal your broken heart even when he doesn't make sense? One of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which is, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. God gave me that scripture one day to point out to me. He was saying, lean not on your own understanding, Angela, but just trust me. Don't try to figure me out. Don't try to psychoanalyze me. Trust me. I came to realize that my circumstances do not determine my joy. My strength and my joy come from the Lord. I think I've got two more scriptures here. Yeah. So I remember having, you know, talks with my sister, and my sister specifically asked me to have one scripture read at her funeral. At the time, I didn't want to hear this conversation, but it's Romans 8:37-39. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us. You know, when God makes a promise, we've all heard, you know, when God says something, his word does not return null and void, but it performs what it was sent out to do, right? So this last scripture in John 14:1-4, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. God has already prepared a place for me. He prepared a place for my family. My assignment here on earth isn't done yet. But he's promised me that I have a place to go to. He has a place already ready for me. And he has a place for you, if you believe in him. You know, there may be some here or some maybe listening online that you're not sure if your family member is saved. You may be struggling with that. I believe, you know, we all heard this story about, you know, how you left the 99 behind to go after the one. You don't know in those final moments if Jesus didn't appear before them to say, come on. We didn't play that one song. You know, God can take what's broken and make it whole again. Give God the pieces of your heart in the depths of your loss and pain. Give him every part of your life. Because even the hard things in his grace will be used for his glory. So how do you respond when your dreams are delayed, your hopes are hindered, and your expectations are erased? Your life is going in one direction and then something happens that you never wanted. It tests you to the core. I learned that I can pour out my heart to God in prayer, and God can carry my heaviest burdens. God's grace flooded my soul at the lowest point in my life. I realized that God is the one who ultimately decides when to bring us home. It's how we walk in it. He said to me through my healing journey that I can trust him. During your loss and pain, remember to lift up your eyes. Look to Jesus who weeps with you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Aaron, I sent that song to you, if you could get a chance to pull it up. Because we do want to take a chance, or a chance, an opportunity at this time to pray for you. If you're grieving a loss this morning, or if you're not sure of your eternal salvation this morning, then your time is now to come forward and receive prayer. I'm going to ask the elders if they can come. And Aaron has a song, if you can find that on YouTube, should be able to find it. But if you have thoughts, you know, often we tell ourselves when we're really sad, I need to just get over this. I need to snap out of this and just pull myself together. Or maybe you feel like you just want to give up and not try anymore. And these are really unrealistic expectations about grieving a loss. And it's a failure to understand that whole grief process that we go through that Angela shared about this morning. There's different stages, there's different intensities. And often you'll go through one stage and you'll go back and then you'll come forward again. But in your heart, we want to pray for you this morning. Psalm 71:20 says, though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. God wants to restore your life once again. So I'm just asking if you would like to receive prayer. Did you find the song, Aaron? Can you just go ahead and start that song? During this song, would you just come on up? Come on up. We're up here to pray for you. We're here to pray for you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I've heard you can take what's broken and make it whole again. Well, here's the pieces of my heart. What can you do with them? As I can't hold them all together anymore. So I let them fall, surrendered to the floor. You make all. You
A place of prayer this morning. Is there someone who wants to give their heart to the Lord this morning? Are you sure of your eternal salvation today? Now's your time. Now's your time. The Lord's calling you. He's pulling on your heartstrings this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He's calling you this morning.